The name of one of our tremendous leaders is on the wall outside. Kenneth W. French. Thank God for Brother French. Thank God for Sister French. And then that leadership kept right on with Brother Blackshear. God bless our Brother Blackshear. And God bless Sister Blackshear. Amen. We're very thankful for our leaders. And now for such a time as this, God has provided a leader. And we thank God for Brother Parrish. Amen.
I like the way you make that mad dash over here.
Man, he starts out of the blocks in a hurry, doesn't he? He's ready. Are you ready to hear the Word of God? Thank you, Brother and Sister Parrish, for being who you are. We love you. Amen. God bless you. We want to hear the Word of God tonight.
Thank you, Brother Glover. Before I do anything, can we all together, one accord, give the Lord some praise and worship tonight? Lord, we need you. You are great and greatly to be praised. We know and understand we can do nothing without you. You are everything in our lives, God. We love you and we worship you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Would you say that with me tonight? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. You may be seated tonight. Amen, amen, amen. Brother Glover started out with, man has always had a leader, and started in the Garden of Eden. I turned and said to a couple of our men, Eve. But I do believe in leadership. And before I do anything this evening, I want to honor my predecessor tonight. 38 years ago, I filled out an application for a local license, turned it into the district, and Brother J.R. Blackshear set as the chairman of that board, and I believe that Brother French and Brother Carnley were there on that. And there were just four of us there in that room. But it was hot enough that we could have melted all the permafrost in Fairbanks. And since that date, Brother Blackshear has been a tremendous supporter of my ministry. He's been a mentor. He has helped me. And I believe that he has always put my interest at heart. And I want to say before you all today, Brother Blackshear, thank you for the influence you've had on my ministry. And I mean this from my heart tonight. Amen. A few years ago, we were elected into the position that we now hold. The next year after that, I cast a vision at this conference of what we wanted to do. I brought to you what I called the three M's of evangelization. And we were going to do our best to provide those three M's to all of our pastors with the point of helping every church in the Alaska Yukon District to grow. And since then, we have done our best to provide the methods, means, and motivation for all of our pastors. And I'm very happy to bring to you a report tonight that this last year has been a good year for the United Pentecostal Church, the Alaska Yukon District. Several of our churches have experienced record-breaking numbers in church. Many times, most often, this happened on an Easter Sunday. But we look at these numbers, and they are record numbers in those particular local assemblies. And they let us know that we're reaching more people, and more people are coming into our churches. Ketchikan had a record number, Brother Glover pastoring there. I believe, if I remember correctly, they had 54 or 58. Which was it? 58 in church in Ketchikan, Alaska. That is phenomenal. That's miraculous. Elder Brother Glover is seeing the fulfillment of his dreams for Ketchikan, Alaska. Sitka, Alaska. 54 in church, Brother and Sister Rathbun. Brother Elmore in Juneau, Alaska has had a record number in church. I want to tell you that there was a time, because of the labor and the sweat and the tears and the blood, the price that had been paid in southeastern Alaska, and we were not seeing any results, and we all felt like the devil had a death grip on southeastern Alaska. But I want to tell you, he does no longer have a death grip on southeastern Alaska, that we have broken free from the chains of bondage, and we are having revival in southeastern Alaska. We've had at least four people that I know of in last week receive the Holy Ghost from southeastern Alaska. You can be seated tonight. Brother Yaden in Eagle River is having record numbers of attendance. Brother Nyman in Carmax had 40 in church Easter Sunday. Life Church, Brother Blackshear, has had record numbers this year. The Apostolics of Fairbanks, pastored by the Bagwills, have had record numbers this year. Palmer, Brother Herring, continues to have revival in Palmer and had record numbers of over 200 in church on Easter. Gap Church in Anchorage has had record highs in their church. Brother and Sister Sparks in Seward, Alaska have had record numbers. And Brother Bradbury informs me that Tuksuk is having record numbers as well. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. What we've been praying for is happening in our district. We're reaching into new fields. Since for years I have prayed, God, open doors for us. Help us to establish churches all throughout Alaska and the Yukon Territory. And now we're beginning to see that happen as well. Sterling Church is reaching out to Nanilchik and having services there. And one of their men has been asked to do a state fair where there's going to be, or some type of fair, where there's going to be lots and lots of people there. And so we are happy about the progress and the outreach of the Sterling Church into Nanilchik. In Bethel, Brother Bradbury continues to storm the land. In his church, Brother Lincoln owns and publishes the local newspaper, the Delta Discovery, which is read in many places, not only throughout the villages and the cities of Alaska, but many places down in the lower 48, and they've even received emails and calls from places around the world, people that are reading the local paper there. But the point is that every week, Dr. Bradbury and Brother Tad Lindley have an article that is published in that paper. Also, the Bethel Church owns and operates its own radio station, KJNR 91.9 FM. So I want to tell you, as you can see, that the Bethel Church is influencing the entire Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. We are an aggressive people. We are an aggressive church. The devil may get us down for a day or two, but I want to tell you, we're going to rise up through the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah! Brother Tad Lindley meets weekly in Queflock for singing and Bible study. And we have our own property and building that we have there. Brother Springer owns and operates a radio station in Homer, KHGO 89.9 FM. He's doing well in the church there. He's trying to form an outreach to Anchor Point. And we thank God for what Brother Springer is doing there. The church in Palmer, pastored by Brother Herring, continues to move forward in revival. In the last 3 years, they have more than tripled in size, not just in numbers on Easter Sunday, but their solid attendance all the way through. They're building a new building to hold all of the people that are trying to come to their church. Oh, glory! Hallelujah! I'm not much of a shouter, but I want to shout, Brother Glover! And my wife said, go ahead and shout, Brother Parrish. I want to read something to you from a report that the general board of our district received just today, I believe it was. And it is from the ladies' ministries who has financially and physically supported our youth missions that now our youth department and also the home missions department has become part of. And part of the report goes this way. She says, we have great testimonies from last summer, and this is in regard to the youth missions. One was that our team in Huna was able to lay hands on and pray for Governor Sean Parnell. Later, DJ Elmore, pastor's son in Juneau, was chosen to play the trumpet at the governor's inauguration in Juneau. DJ had been with the team that had prayed for the governor. Another was that a lady, listen to this, another was that a lady bent on committing suicide came to church in Juneau, and the team there was able to minister to her and see her filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. She continues on, from all over the district, we received testimonies of God's moving as the teams ministered. Teens gave home Bible studies in homes, prayed for the sick as they knocked on doors, had street meetings, had all-night prayer meetings, and handed out hot dogs and ice cream on the streets. I want to tell you that we have got a vibrant, on-fire set of young people throughout our district that are just looking for an opportunity to do something for the kingdom of God. And through this meeting last week, we're going to see ministries that are born. We're going to see young people that are going to go out with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to see miracles and things happening in their lives through the laying on of hands. Oh, thank God for what He's doing in the United Pentecostal Church, the Alaska Yukon District. Well, I hope you can stand some more, because I've got lots more good news. Northwest Alaska continues in revival. Since starting the work in Red Dog Mine out of Kotzebue, Brother Arnold Farmer has baptized over 54, and at least 20 have received the Holy Ghost, and several miracles have been reported. Diabetes has been cured. People have had tumors removed off of their neck, and they just simply disappear before your very eyes. Oh, hallelujah! We're not just another church. We're not just a mere religion, but we are the people of the living God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It's worth mentioning again, and young people, you can shout all over just like you haven't heard it before, because we are flat excited about this. Last week, right here, 25 brand new young people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. 25 young people filled with the Holy Ghost. 25 young people. That's one for every church in Alaska and Yukon. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Would you be seated for just a minute, and I'll conclude with this. At this very camp meeting, as we speak, we are initiating a new principle, Brother Bradbury. Not a program, a principle. We are initiating a new principle that will help unify and empower the ministries of our local churches. They're going to help us to reach and win the lost. It's going to help us to grow our churches and to have a greater impact on our community. It is called Launch Your Ministry. Brother Bradbury is spearheading this. I heard or received word of it about a year or so ago. I talked with the creators of it. I felt it was something that we needed, that we could use in Alaska. Brother Bradbury, which is a regional director for the Northwest region of the Home Missions Department, just came from a meeting, and he called me, and he was on fire about this ministry, and he was wanting permission. He was wanting to know how much the district superintendent was behind this principle of church growth and ministry, and I let him know for sure I was committed to this, and I would do anything I could to encourage it. And so we gave him time before the district board today, and he took about 30 to 40 minutes. He presented the principles of Launch Your Ministry, and we're moving from there. Tomorrow morning, we will have another MIT class, and it will be right here in the auditorium, starting at 9 o'clock. It is open for every person that is interested in ministry. Every person in ministry. It has been said it is for new ministers. No, it is not only for new ministers. It is for everyone that is interested in ministry. Everyone from the person that's not doing anything in your church, but you would like to find your ministry. It's for you. It's for everyone all the way up through the pastor of the church. We're going to bring the two together. People that are interested in ministry with their pastors, and we are going to help you climb the ladder of ministry and find your place in the body of Christ. I would encourage you, if you are interested, to be here. We are going to come together, and we are going to help each other to further the gospel and to further your and my ministry in the kingdom. Can you say amen? Amen. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And so if you will be here for that, we will appreciate that. Now, do you feel like hearing any preaching this evening? You want to go have a hot dog and a hamburger? You can go. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Glover looks at me every time I jump up off the pew and make a run to him here. I don't want him to have to wait on me, and I don't like pauses. I'm too Pentecostal to like silence, and so I like things to keep on moving. He always looks at me with shock. Are you here already? Wait your turn, will you? Amen. Thank God. Well, we're going to be reading from John chapter 6, 41 through 46 tonight. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'm going to trust you've been in the church for a while and you're quick. You're already there. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? Let me repeat that. Verse 42. And they said, who is this guy? Don't we know him? Wasn't he raised among us? Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? Isn't he the carpenter's son, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Who does he think he is? Jesus therefore answered and said unto him, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except my Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now look very closely at verse 6. Don't get ahead of me. Wait till I get there. But the last phrase is where we're focusing. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save or except he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. My title tonight is, We Have Seen Him. We have seen him. Would you lift your hands to the Lord again tonight? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on. Let's get into this service. I'm not trying to just pump you up. Nobody is tonight. But let's create an atmosphere where the Spirit of the Lord can move and He can work and speak to us tonight. Oh, God, we need you. God, we need you. This people is hungry for you tonight, Lord. Give us of your word, God. Give us of your anointing. Give us of your spirit. And help us, Lord, tonight to give your message this evening, Lord. Touch us and use us, God, for your glory. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated tonight. There are those that think that they know him, but they perceive him only in part, or they miss altogether. They see him as a good man. Some see him as a prophet. Some see him as the second part of the Trinity. But we see him as God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. We see him as the prophet Isaiah saw him, as wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I want to tell you, as clear as it is to us, not everyone has eyes to see, and not everyone has ears to hear. When he walked in the land of Canaan, the Bible says that some said, isn't this the son of the carpenter? Isn't he, Jesus, the man that we know? Don't we know his mom and dad? And the Bible says that in that place, he could do no mighty works. But I want to tell you that those who saw him as he was, those who received the revelation of who he was as the mighty God in Christ, to them all things became possible. To him the dead were raised, and the blind could see, and the deaf ears were opened. I want to tell you that he is among us today because we have seen him, because we know who he is. He is not just a second part of a Trinity. He is not just a good man. He is not just a prophet, but it is the very God of the universe, dwelt in flesh, come to save you and I, and now filling us with his spirit. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It is amazing to me how he can be in the midst of people and yet they don't even see him. There was a time that they were persecuting him, and all of a sudden he just walks through them and they have no idea where he's gone. There were times where he walked throughout all of Israel, and yet many never saw him. It amazes me, those that were around him and seemingly so familiar with this Jesus of Nazareth, and yet they still continued to have their needs after he walked by. Somehow I believe they just simply relegated him to the son of a carpenter, and that's all that he was to them. In the day that we live in, we see the very same thing. Several years ago, there was a little girl coming across the street in front of our church on a little bicycle, little four-year-old Shannon. She was hit by the truck. I saw her flying 20-some feet through the air from here to the very end of that pew, the very front pew. She was flying through the air. She landed on the highway and rolled and simply did not move. She was simply a heap of flesh on the highway. I ran out to her while saying to Brother Thibodeau, call an ambulance. I ran out to her. I looked at her. She was not breathing. There was a cut on her forehead. It was open, but there was no blood coming. coming out it. I could not find a pulse beat. I assumed there was no heartbeat. I know that you're not to move someone that is seriously injured, but this little girl had all of the life knocked out of her. There was no hope for this little girl, and I was obsessed with picking her up in my arms and screaming out, Jesus, help this baby. 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 I don't know how long I prayed, but I want to tell you, before I heard the sirens coming, all of a sudden that little girl gasped for air. Her arms went out. Her legs went out. The ambulance takes her to the hospital. 4 hours later, 4 hours later, she comes back home. Her mom and daddy in a pickup truck, they don't carry her into the house. Little Shannon gets out of that truck, walks over, kicks the tire on her bicycle that was all wadded up, and walked into the house. The next day, she come to my house, knocking on the door, bringing me a little gift from mom and dad. And she had a little pretty little dress on. I picked it up. There was not a bruise on that little girl's body. Now, like every pastor would, please be seated. Like every pastor would, I thought, man, we are going to have a house full Sunday. We had a crowd of people out on 23rd Avenue. I mean, I don't know how many people were there. I was so taken with this little girl's need and the mom and daddy that were kneeling beside me. I tried to hand her, while I'm saying, Jesus, help this baby, tried to hand her to mama. Mama just pushed her back and said, no, pray, 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 pray. Oh, I had no idea how many people were around us at that time. There's mom and daddy. There's people. I remember when I opened my eyes and I looked, nobody was looking at this little girl. They thought I had lost my mind. But you know, Sunday came, and there was only one person in church for that whole thing. The little girl, Shannon, she was there. And I thought, somehow they've missed it. Oh, if they really saw that it was the hand of God, but they missed it. They just didn't see it. Somebody thought, it's amazing what medicine can do. But I want to tell you that we saw Him in it. Medicine can only go so far. We didn't relegate Him to the carpenter's son. We said, God, You're the King of kings and You're the Lord of lords, and all things are possible with You. A couple of camp meetings ago, in the altar service, AJ began screaming, I can see, 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 I can see. And you know, I would imagine that there were some that left that service thinking, well, I wonder if he's got 20/20 now. Wonder what could have happened. I mean, did a blood vessel break and enlighten him, or something happen in his brain? How is it possible? What a coincidence that it just chose to happen at this time. But oh, I'm telling you, the flashbulbs were going off and people were shouting. Because we could see Him. Because it removed all doubt. Because it was confirmed once again that He's among us. He's moving in our lives. He's here in church service with us. It could be happening at other places too, but it's not, because they don't give Him the glory for it. But we know who He is. How many of you are familiar with the name Christian Aldrich? I heard a couple of you. Christian Aldrich was a little boy, a young man that was run over by a truck. He was on his motorcycle in Palmer, Alaska. He was underneath a truck tire square on his chest. He somehow was killed in that accident. He was killed in that accident, Brother Herring. And he was dead for 40 minutes. I said he was dead for 40 minutes. You can't hold your breath for 40 minutes and live. Your brain will give out. Your heart will give out. After 40 minutes, you're dead. You might as well have been in the grave for 3 days. Dead is dead. Someone said to Christian Aldrich, "It's wonderful what paramedics can do these days." Christian looked at him and said, "Paramedics didn't do this." He said, "God did this." He said, "I was dead. I went to be with Jesus for a little while. I saw heaven." He said, "God did this." I want to tell you that little boy saw God. I want to tell you the Palmer Church saw God that day. I want to tell you the Alaska Yukon District saw God that day. Oh, hallelujah. Folks, he's among us. Well, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I was driving my car the other day and I saw a bumper sticker. It was so little that I had to get right on his bumper. It was about 2 inches high and about 3 inches wide. Had a lot of big words on it to be such a small bumper sticker. It said, "I am one epiphany short of a paradigm shift." And Brother Tad, you know what that means. I didn't know what it meant. But I thought there has to be a message in it. You're getting ahead of me here, but hold it back, okay? So I went home and I got my tattered Webster's Dictionary out. And I looked up epiphany. And it said epiphany is an appearance or manifestation of God or other supernatural being. And then I looked up paradigm. I thought I knew what that meant, but I thought, we've gone this far, let's be safe. A paradigm is a pattern, an example or model. In other words, your paradigm is the way you are and the way that you do things. Then it began to come together for me. I'm one epiphany short of a paradigm. And I thought, that's what happened to me in a Pentecostal church. I saw him. I saw him. And he changed my paradigm. He changed my life. I had my epiphany. There were others cutting their fingernails. There were others waiting for altar call to get over with. But I had my epiphany. I saw him. And he changed my life. And my paradigm has been forever different. Oh, that's what we need in our Pentecostal churches. We need an epiphany. We need a divine epiphany. We need to hear from God. We need a revelation of God that touches every sinner in the house. Because they need a paradigm change. Please be seated. For us to fulfill our vision, hungry people that visit our churches must see him. They're not looking for another church to join. Pastor, listen to me. The sincere ones are not looking for the best music. The sincere ones that are hungering in their heart, they're not looking for the best orator. They're not looking for someone that does everything perfectly. But they're hoping to get a glimpse of something divine. Something that can change their life. Something that can get hold of them. And I want to tell you that we have it. We have it. One of our apostolic distinctives is the presence of the Lord in our churches. We don't want to lose that, because that's where the power is. We've got the best singers that there is. We've got the best preachers that there is. But you and I may not be the best. But I want to tell you, we've got what it takes if we can sometimes get out of the way and let God flow into the service. If we can learn to wait on God. Quit trying to, pastors, listen to me. Quit trying to cheerlead the saints. Quit trying to just get a high volume and a high noise so we can go home and say, and we really had a shout down at church, didn't we? That's not the important thing. If we shoot for that, we will miss the presence of God. But if we shoot for the presence of God, then we're going to have the effect of it, and we're going to see people responding to the presence of God, and we're going to see a move of the Spirit. In 1 Kings, please be seated. In 1 Kings, we find the building of Solomon's temple. The building of Solomon's temple was not that large in size, but it was an elaborate building. Everything within the church, within the temple, was overlaid with gold. It is said that everything looked and appeared, if you were to go into the temple, it would appear that you had gone into a solid piece of gold and carved everything out of it. There were no seams. There were no cracks. It was solid gold. It took quite some time and thousands of man hours to build this building. And finally, when the temple was completed, there was an elaborate service that was created. The priests were given certain instructions. They were to do certain things. It was rehearsed. They were all practiced, and everything was to perfection, so to speak. And finally, for the last piece of furniture that would be brought into the ark, the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the temple. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. God honored that, and that's where, when you needed to go to God, there you could find Him. That's where God would be. There would be a supernatural manifestation of God. And the Bible says that after the completion of the temple, that the ark was brought in and set in its place. And as the priests begin to go about their other duties, immediately the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priests fell on their faces before God because they were unable to minister their duties in the temple of God. I want to tell you that when the presence of the Lord comes into the place, everything changes. I don't care what you're struggling with in service. I don't care what you're going through in your life. When the presence of the Lord comes into the situation, it changes everything. As I'm speaking to somebody here tonight, it changes everything. What you need is not to learn all of the rules. You don't need to learn all of the Word of God. You just need to get into the presence of the Lord. He'll answer your questions. He'll see you through trials. He'll be your comforter. He'll be your friend when you don't have any other friends. I want to tell you, He is the solver of all problems. It's not what you know, but it is who you know. We have a relationship with Him because we've seen Him. We can feel Him in our bedroom at night. We can feel Him when we're on our job because we know Him, because we have seen Him, and we honor Him not as just a carpenter's son, not just a part of God, but we honor Him as very God. Very God, very God, very God. As the church, we must keep our mission of winning and discipling the lost foremost in our minds and in our hearts. The dictionary is probably one of the most worn books that I have outside of my Bible. Every time I see Brother Herring's Bible, I feel guilty. His Bible is worn out many times over. And when I look at that Bible, I wish that I had not replaced my Bible when it starts to get torn or ragged, because I would love to be able to walk around with a Bible in my hand like that. I was in his church not long ago, and had the privilege of speaking there. And I began to read my text, and I said, if I were your pastor, Brother Herring, I'd just quote it to you. But I'm not there yet. I still have to read it. But anyhow, I was looking through the dictionary for something one day, and I happened on a little phrase. And it caught my attention, just like the bumper sticker. And, you know, you expect in the dictionary to see one word and then the meaning of that word, the adjectives, etc., etc. But here there were four words. It was the Great Dismal Swamp. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Great Dismal Swamp or not, but again, when I saw that, oh yeah, there's a message in that. Preachers get messages out of about anything. So I began to look up. I went and, as my son would say, I studied it extensively. That's the term he uses when he and I are arguing. Sad part is he usually wins. But I looked it up and I found out that the Great Dismal Swamp was a swamp area in southeastern Virginia that ran down into northeastern North Carolina. I believe it's 27 to 32 miles long. The line isn't really definable as in an exact place. It's a swamp area. And it goes a few miles inland. Now today, the Dismal Swamp, the Great Dismal Swamp, is commercialized. And really, you have no reason to go through it or have much difficulty in going through it. You have boats to rent and you have guides and so on and so on. But I can assure you that it was named Dismal for a reason. A swamp can be very, very difficult to get through. There are certain obstacles. There are certain things that will hinder your progress. Again, I asked Mr. Webster what dismal meant, and it said depressing to spirit or outlook, showing a lack or failure of hope. And I thought, yeah, I've been there. I've been to the Great Dismal Swamp, not geographically, but sitting at home sometimes. Sometimes my office has felt like the Great Dismal Swamp. There are a lot of things that will hinder your progress in the Great Dismal Swamp. There are mosquitoes, at least as bad as what we have in Alaska. There are poisonous spiders. There are poisonous plants. You can't drink the water or you will be sick unto death. There are snakes and there are alligators. There are things that will torment you at night. There are no pathways. There would be no signs to guide you. You end up going in circles and you find yourself in the Great Dismal Swamp. If you and I, as the children of God, fighting the battle every day, especially our pastors and their wives. Folks, we ought to pray for our pastors and their wives. They have tribulation and trials that nobody really knows. I thought I knew what it was like pastoring before I pastored, but when I became a pastor, I'm telling you, my eyes were opened. But sometimes we find ourselves spiritually in the Great Dismal Swamp of life. We find ourselves impeded on every side. We find ourselves becoming bogged down by distractions and hindrances along the way. We can never forget who we are and what our mission is all about. We have been commissioned by Jesus Christ Himself that we are to preach the gospel to every creature and that we are to lead them into the teachings of Jesus Christ. That is our vision tonight, that we would somehow win the lost, that we would somehow disciple them and help them to enter into their own ministry. I want to tell you that we cannot afford to let the things of life around us. We are the children of the King. We are the children of His glory. We cannot allow something. I'll go further. We cannot allow your neighbor. We cannot allow my brother or my sister to inhibit my life and to cause me to enter into the great swamp, the great dismal swamp of this life. We are on a mission. We have a purpose with the kingdom of God, and we cannot forget what we are all about. The devil would like to paralyze every one of us. He can't get you to quit coming to church. He can't kill you. He'd have done it a long time ago. But he can wear on you. He can wear you down. He can bother you. He can torment you. He can be a mosquito in your ear at 5 o'clock in the morning. I want to tell you that he'll turn you every way but loose. That's where he gets us. But somewhere along the line, we've got to slap ourselves in the face and say, I didn't come into the church just to keep my head above water, just to tread water, but I came in for what he's done for me and to be used in his hands. It is my hope. It is my hope as your district superintendent, as someone that you and God has placed in leadership of this district for today, for right now, that when we leave this place, we would be so full of the Holy Ghost, that we would be so full of our purpose in the kingdom of God, that no one could offend us, that no one could hurt our feelings, that no one could keep us coming from church, that no one would make me just come to church and sit in the back corner and keep my mouth shut and my hands down. But it would be my hope and my prayer that we would leave here so full of fire for the Holy Ghost that we would be about nothing but the business of God. Let's go back to our churches and set ourselves on fire. Let's go to our jobs and reach it. Realize that God put us there as ambassadors of Christ. God has a purpose for every one of us. You can remain standing. Only through the power of the Spirit can we accomplish our mission. Solomon's temple, by today's standards, would be worth billions of dollars. In that day, it was not one of the wonders of the world. It was the wonder of the world. Not just of Israel. It was the wonder of the world. But I want to tell you that it was nothing more but a mere building until the glory of God came inside of it. We will continue to do the best that we can do in our churches to make them as appealing and to make them as nice as we can. We'll try to practice in singing, and we'll sing the best we can sing. We'll try to pray and fast and be the best preacher that we can be. We want to be the best. I want to have the best personality that I can have. I want to be everything I can to all people so that I can reach and win the lost. But I can never forget that I am not going to get the job done except he build the house. They labor in vain that build it. But on the same instance, I want to realize that my life is given to him. I am about his purpose. I don't live for me anymore. I'm talking about Gordon Parish. And when I stand before people, he has promised that his presence is going to be there. I'm trying to say that you and I can count. We put ourselves in the right place. We can count on the Spirit of God, the glory of God, coming into the temple that we have, whether it's in Hoonah, Sitka, or wherever it might be. And I want to tell you that when we don't know how to fix people, if we'll just create an atmosphere where people can respond to the glory of God and then get out of the way. Pastor, just get out of the way and let God have his way in that place. He knows the secrets of the heart. He knows where people are. He knows those that are suicidal. He knows those that are on drugs. And he is able. I want to open this altar tonight, and I'm asking every one of you to come and make a commitment to the kingdom of God. Would you do it right now? Shatana kamoho shatana. When you're here praying, I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to make a commitment. Make a commitment. If you've been offended by someone, let me put it where the rubber meets the road. Let's get over it. Let's get over it. It's not worth it. It's not worth paralyzing your ministry over. Nothing is. And so let's ask God to help us to lay ourselves on the altar. Let's commit ourselves to the work of God, to the kingdom of God right now. Every one of you that will, I want you to do that. And then after you've done that, I want you to find someone that God's impressed you with. And I want you to find them and lay your hands on their shoulder, on their forehead. And I want you to pray for them. And while you're being prayed for, I want you to reach out your hand and pray for that one that's praying for you. Would you do it right now? Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can see Him in this place. I can see Him here tonight. I can see His presence right here, right now. Oh, yes, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it, young man. That's it, young man. You have a place in the kingdom. You have a ministry. God wants to use you in a powerful way. You don't have to go back home and be discouraged. You don't have to leave this atmosphere and go back into the great dismal swamp of your life.
That can heal and make you whole.
Oh, Jesus, help us. Yes, Lord, have your way tonight. Receive our commitment, God. We give it unto you.
Oh, Hayakala Masatadolo Basia.
That's it. That's it. Reach out to Him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Jesus, I love that name. Jesus, what a glorious name. Jesus, there is no other name I know.
Oh, glory to God.
Jesus,
glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Jesus,
yes, mighty God.
I bow at that.
Mighty God, yes, mighty God.
In Jesus' name be made.
Hallelujah.
Whole.
Hallelujah.
No
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God,
Jesus,
bless Sister Nelson today. You know what she needs, Lord God.
In Jesus' name be free.
Yes, Jesus, hallelujah.
In Jesus' name be made whole. There's no
touch the
Jesus,
God, let us
there is
knowledge.
No other name I know. Jesus, I worship that name. Jesus, I bow at that name. Jesus, there is no other
Almighty God, Almighty God,
that can heal and make you whole. No other name as precious as Jesus. There's no name as powerful, yet is peace to the wounded. Jesus' name be